Hey friends, it's Rena Olson. Welcome to the Relevate Podcast, your place for inspiration. You do not want to miss this conversation with Adam Cherney of the nonprofit Cherney's Journeys. Adam's young life has been just that, a journey, from the highest of highs to the lowest of lows. Emerging from the valley of a devastating illness, Adam is healed and ready for his next great journey. Listen on to learn more. Adam Cherney, welcome to the Relevate Podcast.
Thank you. Appreciate it. I'm glad to be here.
Yeah. Well, what a delight to have you here. I know you sickness has been going through your family, so I'm glad you were able to make it today.
Yeah, definitely. Glad to be here.
Oh, awesome. So we had the privilege of meeting through my association with Ubora Tanzania. And we were introduced by our friends at Perimeter and learned that you have a desire to climb Mount Kilimanjaro. So that's super cool. But made even more cool because you are in a wheelchair. So, you know, that just, we were like, wow, this guy is amazing. And to be planning a trip to climb Kilimanjaro and to give back while you're there, we were just so impressed with you and your vision and in meeting your team and figuring out how we can serve the disabled populations in Tanzania. I mean, it's really got us very excited about the possibility of working with you and your nonprofit, Cherney's Journeys. Before we talk about that, I would love to know more about your story. If you can just share more about kind of where you grew up and becoming a Marine and all of that, that would be great, Adam.
Sure. I was born in Minnesota, right outside the Twin Cities area. And about 1 year old, I think, that we moved to Sugar Land, Texas, right outside of Houston. I grew up there until about seven or eight. And then we moved back to Minnesota. So cold, hot, cold, hot. Grew up the rest of the time in Minnesota until about, was I 24, 25? I moved to Austin, Texas. My parents decided to move there, so I decided to follow them back to Texas. I loved it, and I started my own security company. I got into the protection industry, but first in 2011, I went into the Marine Corps, went to boot camp. And in San Diego. And then fortunately, I had fell about, I think it was about 15 feet from a training obstacle. And I landed on my back. Yeah. It was pretty traumatic. First of all, a lot of medicines and drugs and surgeries. And it is very blurry memory for me. I just go based on what I was told. From my understanding, it was either that I landed on my feet or my back. And basically, it ruptured the disc at T11. So that's lower thoracic. So thoracic's the middle of the spine, and that's the lower part of that, right before lumbar. And it took out spinal cord with a fracture as well. And they rushed me immediately into surgery.
And you were how old when that happened?
I was 19. Yeah. So 19. And they rushed me into surgery, and then about 2 weeks later from that surgery, the first one, I got an infection in my spine. And so they had to do another surgery about 2 weeks later. And this is all in San Diego, California. From there, I started to recover a little bit, went through some pretty intense physical therapy, and then discharged me from the military. From there, I went to the VA, was trying to get recovery back in Minnesota. This is in Minneapolis. And then I had another spinal cord injury. It's called cauda equina syndrome. It's Latin for horsetail. At the end of your spinal cord, you know, it's all kind of a sheath there. And then at the end, it flows, the nerves flow out, and those goes into your legs and whatnot. And those nerves were being compressed by what's called stenosis. So it's narrowing of the spinal canal. And so I was paralyzed again. I actually managed to get some recovery when I was in doing rehab, paralyzed once again. Going through that, the VA wouldn't recognize it happened, even though there was plain as day on the MRI. So I had to go to Mayo Clinic in Rochester, Minnesota, which is a few hours away. And they did an MRI and they said, okay, we'll probably give you a call back in about a week. And they called me the next day and said, no, you need to come in for immediate surgery. You're, you know, you have no spinal cord injury. So great. Okay. Thanks, VA. So I went in for a third surgery. And this was about, I think about a year and a half after the first and second one. So they brought me in, they did immediate surgery. And about a week later, I had to have a fourth surgery for another infection and what's called a spinal leak. So the spinal fluid that's around your spinal cord, there's a sheath, three sheaths that are around it, and it punctured. And so the spinal fluid was leaking into the rest of my body. Very painful, but it's something that needs to be taken care of immediately, as well as the infection. So they took care of that. And I had a battle just trying to get treatment with the VA, just battling, had to get contact with congressmen, all sorts of stuff. It was terrible. But once I did, I started receiving pretty good treatment, and I ended up walking again. I don't know how. It's pretty amazing that even through all that trauma, I was able to do that. And so at this point, I was probably 20, 21, 22, I think. So being young, I wanted to, you know, hit the ground running. Oh, okay, I'm better. I still had a lot of pain in my back and then legs and some, I'd say some weakness in the legs, but I just ignored it. And I went to get into the security industry. I decided to go out to Grand Junction, Colorado from Minnesota. And my 1995 Buick LeSabre, I drove from Minnesota to Colorado to go to a 28-day training course for what's called executive protection, protecting celebrities, corporate CEO, Fortune 500, C-suite executives, and politicians that like. So I got into that, and I moved out to Austin and started my own company called The Gray Group in 2018. And from there, we provided security for protection, intelligence, and investigation. So, you know, we did private investigations and stuff like that around the state of Texas and some nationwide.
Did you learn some of that in the military?
No, not really. Not really. Yeah, most of it was, I mean, a little bit, but most of it was from that training course of just trying to figure it out. Mm-hmm. I wasn't sure what I was going to do career-wise.
Yeah,
it was difficult. And honestly, now that I look at it, I think that career wasn't the right choice for me at that time. But I was young and I wanted to do something fun. So,
well, you're a big guy too. You can't tell from.
Yes, it worked out. You know, being 6'5" and about 280 worked out my favor for that. Clients like that. So that was I did that, and in fact, the highlight of it was not working for celebrities or any of those people. It was really I had the opportunity of helping a few victims of human trafficking. So they fell into my lap again, no training. To me, it felt like Jesus put me there at the right time for these people. The unfortunate part of it is that it's a very misunderstood thing in this country. They don't think it's a real thing. So these poor victims kind of just got passed around. You know, trying to get treatment in different places. They didn't really have people to really advocate for them. And it really didn't end up well, unfortunately. So in 2020, or about 2019, I was working on selling my company to start a nonprofit for fighting human trafficking, helping those victims. I was right about there, got my business plan set up, had an investor ready to go. And I got COVID, and that awoke a disease that I got from the infections years ago. So the disease is called adhesive arachnoiditis, and it's very rare. It's most similar to MS, if that's a good way to explain it. Most similar to MS. Same symptomology, same. Some people can walk, some people can't. Symptoms are different for each person. So that was a battle in trying to get going with that. Started with a unsteady gait, cane, walker, and then full-time wheelchair use. And it's been that way since. That was about 2020, 2021. So, yeah.
And along the way, you found love. So tell me a little
Yeah.
bit about your wife.
Sure. I met her at
Yeah.
a my one of my clients was this TV celebrity, and him and his wife built a brewery out in Boston. Big brewery, many acres, and she decided to take a random trip by herself to Austin, Texas. And I tell you, I've been married to her, now a little over 4 years. That is something that she would never do. I don't know what came over her. This is where it felt like a God thing to us, because she came to this random brewery because of a roommate of hers watched the show that he was part of. She came to this brewery and we hit it off. So I decided to take her around Austin, and we just hit it off so well that I started traveling to Georgia to be with her and her family every 2 to 3 weeks. My business allowed me to do that with the free time and money. So I would come out here, and we hit it off so well, and I hit it off so well with her family that before I even proposed, it was already in the works. I mean, her parents were, I don't know if it's
Love
Randy
it.
Pope's book, but it's a book on, it's 101 questions to ask before marriage. I don't know if that's his book. It's a Christian book, but they were going through that with us before I even proposed everything. We're like, okay, this is happening. So it was just great. She's a, talking about her, when we hit it off first, we were about a year married when this disease started waking up. And a year, most couples, when I hear read stories about people with disabilities, a lot of times ends, a lot of times, both for men and women in either role. And we had to learn quickly how to communicate, how to work through not just being a year married, because that's already something you have to work through, learn to work through together. You're married, you're still, that's nothing. 4 years feels like nothing. But because we have gone through this and worked hard at really trying to build a strong relationship, not just with each other, but with Christ, we were able to persevere a lot together. She's my rock in a lot of ways. When this disease woke up, not only did I have to deal with that, but I also got an infection, and I got pneumonia and E. coli at the same time. Put me in the hospital, put me on a ventilator, all sorts of stuff. And it was because of the inflammation from the disease mixed with that, I was bedbound for about a year and a half. Moving and trying to sit up took me about an hour. Every movement, I screamed in absolute horror. The neighbors could hear it. There was nights where her and her parents just had to listen to me cry and scream for hours as they just rubbed my back and tried to help. Nothing I could really do. And she had to do everything, virtually everything for me. And so not much year into marriage, and she still stood by me and did not give up. There was times, I'm sure, in her head that she's like, I don't know if I could do this. And I don't blame her. It was tough, but she stuck by me, and she motivated me to get better every single step of the way. So I owe a lot to her. She's a wonderful woman.
And the family of two now is a family of three, which is super
Yes.
cool.
Yes, it's fun. You know, she likes to ride in the wheelchairs with me. So it's that makes me happy, you know, that she wants to be a part of it. She's only 5 months, but she already wants to be a part of this whole thing. So it's pretty cool. Yeah.
Well, you know, Dave Burgess, I think he mentioned this to you. He's the president of Ubora, and he grew up, his father was quadriplegic. And
Yes.
I mean, I love when he talks about how it shaped him as a child, how he became the hands and feet of his father. And they had a blast, and his dad was at his, you know, he didn't know any different. And you know, he loved the dad he grew up. His dad was always there at his games and, you know, just fully present and engaged in his life. And
Yeah, exactly.
he turned out pretty awesome too. Well,
Yes.
you have just been through so much in your young life, and to see you healthy and industrious and dreaming big, it just I'm so impressed with kind of what you're envisioning of what's next. So you have launched a nonprofit. So tell us a little bit about Churney's Journeys.
Sure. I'll start with how it started, of course, because it's again one of those things where you look at it and go, how did this even happen? My wife and I, this will be our fifth anniversary this year, and we were trying to figure out an anniversary to do together. And we're very adventurous people. You know, when we travel somewhere, we want to go see all the sights and do everything. We don't want to just sit around on a beach. We're fine with a beach, but it's not something we like to go explore. So I found, or I'm a part of a wheelchair hiking group on Facebook because I have my own wheelchair for hiking, and it's something I love doing. My whole family loves doing it. And this gentleman, his name is Abe. I don't think his last name, I thought his last name was Moshi, but that is the city, correct?
In
Moshi?
Tanzania.
Okay, gotcha. He goes by Abe Moshi. That was his name on Facebook. So he's in this wheelchair hiking group, and he goes, "Hey, my company, we take people in wheelchairs up Kilimanjaro. Is anyone interested?" And I'm looking at this and going, "I'm the only one who said anything, commented, going, yeah, how do I do this? That's awesome. Nobody else was interested." And so I reached out to him and I said, "Yeah, I would love to do this. My wife would like to be a part of this. Let's talk. Let's get this going." And so we started learning about the process and what we need to do and train and, you know, vaccines, all that stuff. But then I started inviting friends. You know, it's our anniversary, but we love spending time with our people, you know, our community, friends, family. We're like, hey, more the merrier for us. You know, on our anniversary, we can go out to dinner or something. But we started inviting people. And then the more I talked about it with people, other people were saying, hey, I would like to do this. How do I do this? You know, people in wheelchairs and with just certain disabilities. I do intense physical rehab and training, pretty much personal training at a paralysis recovery center in Alpharetta, Thursdays and Fridays.
Super
And they
cool.
always ask, we're very good friends, so they always ask what I'm doing next, and they watch my videos and all that. I said, well, I'm hiking up Mount Kilimanjaro. One of the trainers there, who's a really good friend of mine, he goes, I'm joining you. I'm gonna be your buddy on this. Okay, cool. And then, you know, they started telling their patients who go there as well about this. And so we're like, okay, we have something here where people want to join in on this. And because I'm such an adventurous person, I want to do everything. I want people to come and do those things and feel empowered that they did it. You know, getting up to Mount Kilimanjaro, even if you attempt it, I know it's not an easy task, but even attempting it, you should be proud of that fact.
For
But if
sure.
we can get people with disabilities to summit it, you can look at anything else in your life and go, I can do that now, you know, regardless of a wheelchair or not.
I think the win is getting people to Africa. You know,
yes.
Just that in itself, landing in Africa, seeing the beauty of the country, you know,
yeah,
seeing Kilimanjaro for the first time is just, it is awe-inspiring. So
okay.
There's a lot awesome. Of wins, whether it involves a summit or not, but.
Yes, yes. Well, and we started getting going with this, and afterward, I built the nonprofit. I had some guys in mind for my board. One of my buddies who is our producer, and he's helping me with produce another project of mine. And my father I brought on as well. And then I met this guy named Sean, who he builds wheelchairs for a company called National City Mobility. And we hit it off. We just became such good friends. And he heard about the hike and he goes, I want to be a part of that. Tell me what I need to do. I'm like, okay, cool. So we invited him on the board and everything to be our kind of wheelchair maker, fixer, and all that sort of stuff. So we're designing other wheelchairs and things as well. And he brought up the idea of helping the Tanzanian nationals. You know, he goes, hey, why don't, you know, we're going to be there already. Why don't we go and help build adaptive equipment for the nationals there? I go, that sounds great. I'm up for that. You know, let's do it. And so that became a thing right there. And then more and more people just started coming into this. More and more, you know, you talk about what Jesus does with that, where he just, you follow him, you listen to him, you let him guide you. And he just brings those people who go, oh yeah, I'll help you with that part. Let's hit that. Let's hit that. And then and that's the same thing with Perimeter, how we met you guys. It's, you know, I just reached out and I said, hey, this is what we're doing. We need some guidance with this. I know nothing about Tanzania. I know nothing about Africa. We need some help. And luckily, Simon at Perimeter said, hey, they're going to be in this Monday. Can you make it? I had to reschedule things and everything. And I'm like, I'm going to this because this would be stupid not to go to. So we met you guys. And then y'all started bringing more ideas to the table, you know, helping adapt schools and orphanages, building paths. And we're like, well, I think we have to do this now. And we really want to do it. It's really exciting how it's formed. So.
Well, with the ministry, we have always counted on God to kind of bring us the next thing. And there are the need is still so great. You'll see when you get over there. You know, there's no social services really of any kind to provide any type of safety net should there be a drought or the crops don't grow or there's too much rain. It's still very much a very fragile society and lots of needs. And I think I told you, I visited that orphanage for the disabled kids last time I was there. And one sister and her team are doing just tremendous work caring for these, but there's just not living in America. We have our challenges, but we do have our safety net is so deep and wide and could always be better, but you know, just so many programs for kids here. So I love the fact that you're looking way across the ocean to those kids in Tanzania and saying, you know what, how can we help them? So God's gonna point us right in the right direction. We have a sponsorship program and I don't think we have any disabled kids at our school, but in reading bios of a family, there is a mother who is taking care of a granddaughter who is in a wheelchair. That's, you know, maybe that's where we start. And we've just never been able to, we're doing so many other things that we've never really said, okay, let's do this now. But I'm sure that there's plenty of opportunity to get involved in any number of ways. So it's just figuring out, you know, where do we even begin? So pretty awesome.
Yeah, makes sense. And, you know, when I sat down with you, you and Dave, I can't remember the other ways. What was her name?
Emily.
It was Emily. Okay, great. I thought it was, but I was want to assume. And when I sat down with y'all and you were telling me the different stories of the challenges they go through, it makes me go, you know what? Yeah, sometimes my days aren't great. Sometimes I'm hurting. Sometimes I don't feel good. But it's hard to complain when you hear those stories. And I'm sure seeing it even makes it harder.
But yet there's joy. There is such joy in the Tanzanian people who
That's
really,
powerful.
you meet these kids and these people, and then you'll go visit their house and they may be living in a mud hut with no electricity and no water. And but they're joyful and beautiful and just so wonderful. So it will definitely light you up. And I love the fact that the possibility of sharing that with you and seeing how God moves in that area. So the
Definitely.
climb is tentatively scheduled for next year, 2025. Is that right?
Yeah, I'm gonna say next year because we just don't know, and we're at the point now where we're talking with you guys at Eubora, trying to figure out how much things are gonna cost, and it's hard to put a exact date until we know everything we're gonna do and how we're gonna do it. And I think that's the exciting thing. I get a little antsy when these things happen. That conversation with you guys at Perimeter was so powerful. I mean, I got in the car and I called Kelsey and I was crying. And I will say, I am not a crier, but when I am moved by the Holy Spirit for these kind of things, that discussion, it almost makes your skin crawl a little bit. You're like, oh, whoa, what is that? What is that feeling? And I get antsy about it. I'm like, I'm ready. Let's go. But I know there's preparation that needs to be done. And that's kind of where we're at. We're trying to get prepared. I would love to say that as a nonprofit, we don't care about the money, but there's no way to move without it, obviously. And so knowing how much that's going to be, I think we're getting to a point where it might need to be later next year. I know we'll take suggestions on the best times to go. We don't want to deal with too much heat. I'm thinking October, but if we can go sooner, we would love to go sooner because, again, you talk about how much work needs to be done. I'd love to get going as soon as possible, but we have to be kind of realistic on what we can and how quickly we can. So.
So I love the fact that you have that spirit of adventure, and that even being in a wheelchair, you still have that, and you've found ways to pursue that. So was that kind of an intentional choice you made early on that I'm going to figure this out? I'm going to figure out how I can continue hiking, or kind of talk me through that process, because I think a lot of people kind of lose a lot of dreams when something like this happens.
I've always been kind of a dreamer. Even when I was younger, I that's why I wanted to go do something big like bodyguarding and all that. At that point, I would say in my life, I was more about looking a certain way to other people over how do I look to Christ and how do I look at myself. I was so worried about what other people thought that I wanted to be this cool figure. So when it came to dreams, I wasn't following my dreams, but I wasn't also following what I feel Christ had in store for me. When I got sick, I will admit there was times where I just wanted to give up. That pain, when you're in that amount of pain, it is hard to have hope in that moment. You're just like, I'm done. I'm over this. But I had a wife, I had a family, and I most importantly had a God that said, no, you keep going. So when I started getting better, I got in with a good doctor who I had to kind of do some experimental treatments. My disease is very rare. So treatment for it is it's minimal. And it feels like to me they just give up. So I got a good doctor who was like, let's try some things. Let's just try it. I started feeling better. I also got what's called a spinal cord stimulator. So they did an implant. that uses frequencies to dull pain on your spinal cord. And it helped with some of the leg pain and whatnot. I still deal with pain, but I did everything to get better. I dealt with vertigo, migraines, hand weakness and pain. And working with this doctor, we started crossing them off one by one. And once I started feeling better, even just a little bit, I started getting into everything. And to the point where my wife had to go, let's calm it down. It's good to have a spouse like that that puts you in to go, hey, you need to slow down. Because I was actually hurting myself. I would get into everything too quickly. I love weightlifting, and I got back into that way too early and too heavy. Since then, I've gotten into a number of nonprofits here in the U.S. for veterans and just disabilities, you know, like the scuba diving one called Dive Pirates. I'm in with the Wounded Warrior Project, Paralyzed Veterans America, and a number of them that go and do, they'll send you to do these amazing activities, you and your spouse, your caregiver, whoever. And in February, not last year, oh no, it was last year, I went skiing in Vermont. I've been surfing in Florida, deep sea fishing, tennis, golf. I've done a lot because at that point, and I think a lot of people with disabilities can speak to this, you know, you do get that moment where you just want to give up. But at the same time, once you start really pushing, you're like, I want to do everything. I want to see what I could do, even though I deal with this. And so it pushed me to really go above and beyond and to really do what I wanted to do. And I got away from worrying about what other people thought. And I went and said, I want to do this. I'm going to go try it. I'm going to do this. I want to go try it. And I would say I've been pretty blessed. You know, talk about what the Tanzanian people go through versus us. I've done a ton of stuff. I've done more now in a wheelchair than I did when I was walking.
Really?
And that is why I want people with disabilities to know this stuff is out there. Mm-hmm. And I think it's either they don't know it's out there or they think they can't do it.
Right.
And there might be something you can't do, but that doesn't mean there's not other things you can go into.
Yeah.
So really want to show those.
Tell us about the dive. I saw that video and I was like, you are not going to do that. And you did.
Yeah. So Dive Pirates, they've been around for 20 years. It started with, I've always wanted to scuba dive. I love the ocean. I love swimming. And then my wife loves it too. So it worked out that I was looking, there was a nonprofit called Life Waters does the same thing. And I was attempting to get in with them to do their scuba program. They do a similar thing where they buy your gear, they get you trained, and they'll even get you trained with a buddy. Because with us disabilities, there's a different classification based on how many people you need to help you, your buddies. And I tried to get in with them, and they just didn't have anyone to train me at that time. And I got really bummed, but then I just started searching and I found Dive Pirates and they're like, yeah, let's do it. They were a little nervous at first because of this implant, because you know. They worry that if you go a certain amount of feet under the ocean,
sure,
something bad's gonna happen. Luckily, the brand I got, you can go 115 feet with it. So, and most people don't even scuba dive that deep. So we got going. We got in with them. They paid for my training, my gear. And at that time, I didn't have a buddy to do it with, but I was ready to go. And then they paid for me and my wife to go to Cayman Brac. So the Grand Caymans, the second smallest island, very small. And it was a week of just nonstop fun, laughter. It was one of the best trips I've ever been on. The coolest part about it was, I mean, it's beautiful under the ocean, what you see, the feeling, but there was no pain. And I have not felt a lack of pain in over 10 years. So to do that was really surreal. Every time you're down there, the pressure, there was just no pain. And so that was really cool. It was, I didn't need my legs. And I even saw some people who are quadriplegics that had very minimal use of their arms and legs. And all they did was they had someone who was their buddy kind of hold their tank, and they were their legs. The same thing, you know, Dave talked about with his dad. He was his arms and legs. And it was so cool to see the different, everybody had different disabilities, diseases, disorders. We were all out there together just having a blast. So it is a really cool experience.
Well, I love it. And I don't know. I think you've got a promising career as an inspirational speaker. I think it's very important for you to be out there sharing your story.
I appreciate that.
About what's possible. You know, we all have limitations. Some not as physically visible as others. But for you to just have the belief that, yeah, I can do that. I think that's just part of it. So I'm interested about your faith journey. Have you always been a strong believer, or did kind of these hardships really force you to really just kind of lean on God?
Yeah. I grew up in a Christian family. Childhood was rough. My mom, she passed in 2013, but she was an alcoholic. She was as loving as a mother as I think she could be at that time. I love my mom. No hard feelings, just is what it was. And dealing with that and some other things, it was rough as a child to really lean on God at that moment. And, you know, just not having the understanding of what that really means as a child. As I grew up, became a teenager, I went through my own struggles, and I got further and further away from him. And I went to a school where the science teacher was a very strong Christian. And he didn't talk about it unless you asked him about it. And I asked him, you know, I didn't know he was a Christian, but at that time I was going through some really hard things, and I just needed someone to talk to. That wasn't a therapist. It's someone who could really just listen and try to understand human to human. And he listened, and he goes, "Hey, why don't you come to church with me sometime?" And it was a church in Minnesota called Hosanna. We say Hosanna up north instead of Hosanna. I always get made fun of for that. Hosanna. I don't know which one's correct, but that's how we say it up there. So he invited me, and I got really involved with one of the pastors, Tim Hatt. His role at that time was kind of also a community outreach. He did a lot of missions trips. And so I got really involved with him and my teacher at the time. And they would take me to church. They would kind of just spend time with me, just really mentor me, spend time with me, hear me out, whatever I needed in that time. And that was about 16 year. I was about 16. And then I came to Christ at that moment. However, I don't think now when I look at my relationship with Christ now versus then, I feel like I wasn't fully there yet, even at that moment. I got baptized, and I feel like I was playing the part over actually just being fully in a relationship with him. And so as I got older and I went to the military and all that stuff happened, I was again out the door with him. I was like, no, we're not doing this. And that is, you know, one of the hardest times of my life. And I feel, you know, when you look back at your life, I feel like it, even though it was very tough, it might not have been as tough as it was if I had that relationship with him. You know, I look at that now and look at the difference between when I've been atheist versus agnostic versus Christian. And always I come back to going, you know, Christian is when I'm the most happiest, the most inspired, the most motivated, everything. And I think a big part of that was when I met my wife in 2018. This was still at that time, I think I was 25, and I didn't really have a strong relationship with him. At that point, I was kind of searching for it again. I was kind of going, you know, I got some questions. I don't know how to ask these things. And so even to the point, you know, my wife, Kelsey, and her family are very strong in their faith. And coming around them, you know, there was even a little nervousness about us being married, you know, because I wasn't a Christian. And I said, you know, I want a relationship with them. I just don't know how to have that. And just being around them and learning and then starting to go to Perimeter with them, I go, you know what? I don't need to make it as rigid and hard as I'm making it for myself. And that's when, through all of this now with the disease, my relationship with him has just got stronger and stronger and stronger. Even in those moments where I just wanted to give up, I still had him and I was going, God, please help me stop thinking this. Help me feel better. Help me with whatever I need in that moment. Just please come around me and help me. And so that's even, you know, the moments where you're like, I am now inspired because I'm feeling better. It feels like my relationship with him got more and more because I depended on him in those moments. And now I'm pretty blessed in life, even with all I go through. I'm very blessed. So I've definitely had a rocky relationship with him over the years.
It's a journey. I had somebody tell me recently that, and I know I'm going to get the saying wrong, but a lot of people, when something like this happens, they always say, God doesn't give you more than you can't handle, right? Mm-hmm. And some pastor pushed back on that and they said, well, he actually does, but that's why you need him. Mm-hmm. You need him because he can handle it.
Yes.
You know, so it just reframes that, you know, we're broken, fragile people. It is the human experience that, you know, you don't believe in God. And Andy Stanley, my pastor, you know, he went through, you know, people that don't believe, they see Jesus any number of ways. And one of them was Jesus as a genie. You know, it's like, you know, you believe in Jesus and bad things aren't going to happen. Well, no, it doesn't work that way.
Never promise that.
Right. Yeah. But yeah. I've been doing a deep dive into Beatitudes. I believe I have a book from the Beatitudes about, you know, blessed are the, you know, it's all about the challenges in life and how we're blessed through it all.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And, I agree. Upside down living, you know, it doesn't make sense, but you're right. It's not some formal thing. He's there for any and everyone, as long as we just kind of start to invite him in and be in conversation and relationship with him and to be seeking him. And when you kind of open those doors, he's never going to force himself on you. When you start opening those doors and opening those conversations, it is transformational. It really is. And so many people I see that are struggling, I just want to say, like your teachers, I mean, it just makes me happy to hear that, you know, teachers probably really can't do that anymore. You know, it's like, come on, go to church with me. And it was, you know, that was a life raft that was thrown out to you at that time as a young man who was struggling.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I can look at key moments in my life of when that was that similar, throwing that life raft out. And I either jumped on it or I didn't. And I saw that life, if I didn't jump on it or I did jump on it, what happened in those times? Did I get better? Did I get worse? And again, you know, we go through these struggles like that, but it makes these struggles easier having him on your side, having him there with you, guiding you and protecting you through it. You might go through some of the worst stuff, like you talk about with Tanzania, but they're still happy and they still try their best to push through the struggles because they know they have that. That's really cool.
Well, we are so glad that you're part of the Ubora family now, and we look forward to figuring out how we're going to tackle Kilimanjaro together. We feel so fortunate to know you, and I feel fortunate to know you and to share your story on the Relevate podcast, Adam. So the word Relevate means to uplift or restore to good spirits. Close us out with just a word of encouragement for people who may need to have a little installation of hope in their heart.
I think the greatest thing in life is when you can look at the good things and the bad times. I'm trying to come up with the right words for that, because I think about this all the time, is that when you are really struggling, you find that happiness, just like you talked about in Tanzania. Those times when I'm in pain, I just think about all the good things that are happening that Christ is bringing into my life. When you don't have that, you think about the bad things, even when the good things are happening. And I challenge people with disabilities and even not to look at those moments that are really bad and pick the things that are really good that are happening around you. Quit focusing on your limitations, your lack of finances, your whatever it is, and start finding those things around you that are good, people, things happening, whatever it is. Start really focusing on the right things, which is, I believe, Christ and just happiness, all those things. Just start focusing on the right stuff.
Yeah, what you can do instead of what you can't do.
Mm-hmm.
You're a beacon of hope, just blazing a trail about what's possible when you just go for it.
Yes,
Adam, it is great to have you here, and just look forward to hanging out in Tanzania, hopefully sometime soon.
Definitely. I know we have a call coming up, so we got to plan for that. But I'm very excited for it, and I know my team is as well.
Okay. So. And tell us how people can find you if they would like to learn more or invite you to come speak or maybe even make a donation.
Sure. We have a website. It's www.churneysjourneys.com. And I think I should probably spell that. It's CHERN as in November, EYS. So Churneys Journeys, my last name. And there you can get a sense of what we're doing. How we're going to be impacting people in Tanzania and just people with disabilities all around the world. I'm also on social media, Facebook, Instagram, Twitter, now X, TikTok, a number of them where I post videos of me doing all sorts of activities, my training for Mount Kilimanjaro, as well as we have a Facebook and Instagram page for Churneys Journeys specifically. And you can now donate on Facebook, Instagram, as well as we do have a donate button on our website as well. Cool. People want to get in contact with me. I'm always happy. And in fact, I've had people from the Philippines, Pakistan, UK that have contacted me. I have no idea how, other than they found my videos, who have asked for help. So I'm actually helping a gentleman in Pakistan with disabilities right now. So. It's pretty cool.
Yeah. And I think that's so cool. The specially designed wheelchair, you have a hiking wheelchair, which is super amazing.
Yes. And they actually reached out to us and want to be a part of this as well. The people who made that. And in fact, they told me that this started in Tanzania, which is really cool.
No way.
Their product did. Yeah. I don't know the full story, but I was told that that's where they got the idea, was in Tanzania. So interesting.
Out.
Yeah.
So, and is your wife all game for you to climb Kilimanjaro?
Yeah, she's going to do the same.
Okay.
She wants to be the right along. She's a film editor. So we're going to be making a documentary of this to help inspire people as much as we can. And she's going to help with that that process as well. So yeah, she's all about it.
Well, I can't wait for the story to unfold, Adam. You are just keep doing the great work and just keep persevering. You are totally an inspiration to me and a lot of people. So thank you for joining us to learn more about Adam of Churney's Journey and the nonprofit Ubora Tanzania. To connect with Adam, visit churneysjourneys.com. To learn more about Ubora Tanzania, visit uboratz.org. And to learn more about yours truly, the host of the Relevate podcast, visit rena-olson.com. Be hopeful, be helpful, and be inspired.